This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Chris Brooks here, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Did you know that we are funded by the generosity of listeners just like you? Can you help us? Partner with the Ministry of Equip by calling 888-644-4144 or on equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am so thrilled that you've joined me today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And I hope you're doing well today and growing in God's grace. This is a great day for you and I to serve the Lord and to reach others with the good news of God's grace. Today, I want to talk about leadership, the challenges that comes along with being a leader, the pains and joys of leading not only people, leading yourself, and leading the institutions that God has entrusted to your care. Maybe it's in the business field that you're leading, maybe in education, maybe it's in ministry that you're leading, but leadership is tough. As a matter of fact, outside of marriage and parenting, I don't know of anything that is more challenging, a tougher job that you'll ever love than leading. The rewards are great, but the challenges are great as well. In particular, in a post-COVID world where there is hyper-polarization, volatility, tensions, and so much more. So today I want to help you as a leader. And if you're listening today and you're a leader and you're saying, Chris, this is a perfect topic for me. I'm overwhelmed. I'm seeking God for answers, direction, and guidance. I've come to a place where I need to hear from the Lord. I need wisdom. Maybe my staff right now seems to be stressed out, or the vision that we've been trying to execute, the plan that we've been trying to implement, does not seem to be coming together like I had hoped. Or maybe you're just feeling the journey is a lonely one today. I'd love to be your prayer partner. The phone number is 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. I find myself constantly looking to invest in my leadership. I want to grow as a leader. I recognize that I got a long way to go, and I want to continue to sharpen myself as a leader so that I can be used more effectively in the days to come by the Lord. So in order to do that, I'm constantly looking for resources and people that I can learn from. And I'm really excited to have a couple of folks on today who I am really looking forward to learning from, and folks that I have gotten a chance to really glean from in the past as well. I want to start by inviting on Dr. Michael Lindsay. Many of you may have heard previous interviews that I've been able to have the privilege to do with Dr. Lindsay. He is the author of a couple of books that we've talked about before. We've interviewed him on View from the Top being one, as well as Hinge Moments, Making the Most of Life Transition. Dr. Lindsay is the president of Taylor University in Upland, Indiana, and he joins me today. Dr. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for joining. I appreciate that. I know it's a busy time, and I'm pretty fired up to have you on. And you have come with a great man of God, Reverend Gregory Dyson. He's the vice president of spiritual life for Taylor University, as well as serving as campus pastor for Taylor. Reverend Dyson, how are you, sir?
Chris, I'm great. Glad to be with you. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for joining me, gentlemen. I am really excited about an upcoming conference As a matter of fact, my entire executive team from my local church here, Woodside Bible Church, is going to be joining me. When I saw the news that you guys were going to be hosting what you're calling the next conference, Reverend Gregory, I was pretty fired up about it. Why don't you talk a little bit about the vision for that conference and what you're hoping you'll be able to do for leaders?
Sure, Chris. You know, we have a group that meets on campus, a ministry advisory council. These are pastors from around the country who provide guidance and direction for us on campus. And as we began to talk with them about the needs of pastors, these are pastors from different backgrounds and Christian leaders, we really determined that it was important that there was an opportunity for strategic vision and planning together to help pastors to do that better. And so this next conference is a one-day conference designed to bring together leaders to allow them to be able to hear from some great resources from around the country, some great individuals, and to also to be able to be iron sharpening iron together, and to do that on our campus at Taylor University.
Yeah, I mean, great campus there, and obviously Taylor University is a historic Christian university that has touched and transformed many lives, produced many leaders. Our church has several leaders that are Taylor grads. Dr. Lindsay, talk a little bit about your passion for leaders. So much of your work, your dissertation, your books have really focused in on lessons you've learned from great leaders. I would even argue elite leaders. And wanting to pass that on to other leaders so that they can grow as well. Where's that passion come from?
You know, I think a large part of our passions come from our own personal stories. My dad served as president for PGA of America, the golf business, with yesterday's Masters. I'm thinking a lot about golf. And I think that as a young man, I was intrigued with my dad's professional journey and how it might shape him. My mom served as the head of a independent school in my hometown of Jackson, Mississippi. And I saw my mom, a servant leader, day in and day out, blessing and serving her students, serving her faculty, serving her institution. So the next conference really comes full circle for me because it's a chance for us to pour into the lives of great leaders. And we're hoping that we can help them think more strategically about the future. The challenge for churches is that we're always dealing with the here and now, and it's hard to take sort of a long look. But what we're hoping is that a one-day retreat with some great expert speakers that can inspire and encourage us might help churches and church leadership teams to take a longer horizon to see what God might be calling their congregation to do, and then for them to use the time during the summer months to actually develop a vision and a plan that could serve their ministry year and years to come.
Reverend Dyson, you served as a pastor for several decades, and now you're in this role as campus pastor for Taylor University. You know, obviously, pastoral ministry is a multi-generational reality. We have to minister to the present generation while thinking about what ministry will look like in a decade or even more and preparing for that. How has ministry changed, in your opinion, over the last 30 years as you've pastored and led? What do you think is are the major changes that pastors need to be aware of and leaders need to be preparing for?
Well, certainly you are exactly right, Chris. This conversation is one that is changing rapidly. We know that the message does not change. The truth of God's word does not change, but our methods have to change. And so as we are dealing with what's happening in the culture today, what's happening in the community today, one of the things that I'm seeing constantly as I talk with young people, it's difficult for them to understand what community looks like. It's also difficult to understand how do I find a place that I can grow. You know, 30 years ago, you went to your local church. You walked to that church, most likely. And now that church is spanning many continents for you to get there. How do you connect with that? And so those are just two of the thoughts that come to my mind immediately as you ask that question.
Yeah, Dr. Lindsay, I want to dive into community because one of the things that I'm really impressed with Taylor University is that Taylor, like most schools, could just think about life within your four walls, per se, but you guys just got a major Lilly grant that I think reflects your commitment to not only your campus, but Upland, your community as well. Just talk about that a little bit, and as leaders, why we need to think beyond just our institution or even just our own four walls.
Well, we're really excited about it. It's an initiative called the Main Street Mile Initiative. We applied for $25 million to the Lilly Endowment, which is the second largest philanthropy in the world, and they actually gave us $30 million. So you never get a grant that's bigger than you asked for, but we did. And it's going to spur economic and community development around the community in significant ways. And we're hoping that we could be sort of a national model of what a Christian university who takes seriously the admonition from Jeremiah 29, seek the peace and the prosperity of the place where God's carried you, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. We're taking that seriously, and we're hoping that many other faith-based institutions to seek opportunities to be a blessing to their friends and neighbors. Upland is going to look dramatically different from years from now, in large part because the Lord is doing some really great things in and through this, and we're very excited about it. The work begins in earnest in June 1.
Yeah, but some will say, Dr. Lindsay, what does that got to do with Christian education? I mean, you are a Christian higher ed institution. Now you're talking about community and economic development. Why do this? Why burden yourself with this broader commitment to Upland?
That's a fair question. I think it's the same kind of question that pastors and church leaders have to answer when folks are asking, why are you choosing to, you know, serve your local neighborhood? Yeah. You know, we're admonished to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, but we're also reminded to care for Judea and Samaria. So what's the analog in your church's life? What's the analog in Taylor's life? And for us, it's this small town called Upland, Indiana, and our community of Grant County and our region of the Midwest. We think that there's a real admonition to demonstrate how we can be a blessing. I have 2,000 students on campus every day, and in the process of that, we double the population of Upland. So we already represent 50% of the folks who live here, but we care deeply about their well-being. And so our students interested in health professions are helping to do health coaching for folks who are close to being diagnosed as diabetic, and we're trying to keep them from that, trying to help them make healthier choices with their diet, healthier choices with their exercise. That's a practical way that we're making a real difference in the lives of these folks who live nearby. And in the process of that, I think we're admonishing and living out the gospel for our friends and neighbors.
Yeah, the late, great Chuck Colson would argue that Christianity is a holistic worldview, meaning that it speaks to all of life. And I think initiatives like what you're undertaking there through the generosity of the Lilly Foundation Endowment really reflects that. It allows us to reflect the fact that we're not just concerned about Sunday morning. We're concerned about Monday through Saturday as well in every area of a person's life. To me, that's leadership. We're up against a break, but Reverend Dyson, I would love for you to just kind of highlight, if you could quickly, a couple of the keynote speakers at the next conference and what you're hoping leaders will get from it.
Absolutely. So one of our speakers would be Ruth Haley Barton. Ruth is known for 20 years. She's been serving in amazing ways. And she's a writer, especially of material that's helping people rest, helping leaders rest. One of the things that we need to figure out and do well is, how do we rest better? How do we live with margin in our life? And I think Ruth will be able to speak to that in powerful ways. And strategically, how do we do that? Paul Cannings is coming to us. Paul is no stranger to the pulpit. He is the founding pastor of Living Word Fellowship in Houston, Texas. And Paul is going to help us think about how, in an urban context, do we live out strategically for Christ? How are we going to do that strategically? He's been doing that, of course. His brother-in-law, Tony Evans, is someone that has been well-known in the world. But Paul has been behind the scenes doing the layman's work that's necessary, the heavy work that's necessary. And of course, David Kinnaman will be speaking as well. And David is known for his work, his work Unchristian, as well as being the CEO of Barna Group. And when David comes to the table, I think people are going to be highly encouraged as he helps us think about the statistics and the details that we live inside of every single day.
Yeah.
Go
right ahead.
No. I was just excited to think about those three speakers coming, bringing to us a level of gravitas to the conversation that we're looking at in these days.
Yeah. In a word, what's your hope for those who attend?
Feeling that they'll leave feeling that they've been filled up and encouraged to be able to go out and serve well.
I'm pretty excited about this, and so much so that I invited on Reverend Dyson and Dr. Lindsay. Now, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, maybe you're not feeling filled. Maybe you're not feeling encouraged. We want to encourage you today. If you're in leadership or if you have a leader you'd love for us to pray for, dial that number, 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. How do you experience resiliency so that you can outlast the storms of leadership? We'll talk about that on the next side of this break. Don't go anywhere. Much more to come on Equip. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Phone number 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. Before we go back into our conversation with Dr. Michael Lindsay about leadership, I do want to remind you of our upcoming Equipper Zoom webinar. This is for our monthly partners. We're going to talk about how do you know Christianity is true. Now, we're opening registration now for those of you who are monthly partners that have not yet registered. Registration is open. But I do want to highly encourage you, if you're working with young adults, this is going to be a really important conversation on how do we support the veracity of the Christian faith. Now, one of the things that's changed over the last 20 years, maybe 25 years, is that to make an argument for Christianity used to be really on an evidential basis. That we could prove that the scriptures were reliable, that the gospels were credible historical documents, that the Bible was not full of contradictions and was therefore trustworthy. We could prove the historicity of the Christian faith. Now the questions are less about evidence and more about ethics. To prove that Christianity is true is to say that it is good morally, that it's good not only for the individual, but it's good for our society as well and various groups within our society, in particular women and minorities. So we're going to talk a lot about this. How do we make the case for the Christian faith with our non-Christian neighbors and friends, with our children, sons and daughters? One other shift that I want to just highlight that I think makes this this time together, this Zoom webinar so important, is that it used to be the defense of the Christian faith, what is classically known as apologetics, was a field that really targeted those who were outside of the Christian faith. But increasingly so, the focus of apologetics should be on those within the Christian faith who are considering deconstructing, who are considering walking away from the faith that they held so near and dear to their hearts. So we're going to talk a lot about not only proving the credibility of the Christian faith to the non-Christian, but even to the follower of Christ who is maybe living with doubts that are drawing them away from their faith. If you are a monthly partner, all you have to do is go into your inbox, type in Equipper Encouragement in your email inbox, and it will come up, and the registration link is there. If you're not a monthly partner and you'd like to attend, it's so easy to become one. All you have to do is dial this number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Today, my guest, president of Taylor University in Upland, Indiana, Dr. Michael Lindsay. Dr. Lindsay, you've been in leadership for some time now. I want you to share maybe a couple of lessons you've learned on survival or resiliency. How have you been able to weather the storm, my friend? Because I'm sure you've seen a lot of leaders come and go. What's helped you to have resiliency through the difficulties that you faced?
I think probably one of the key things is the importance of staying close to the Lord and having a spouse and close friends who can remind you of the Lord's faithfulness even when those tough times come. Oftentimes we need somebody to remind us of the moments where the Lord has shown up in our life and we can rely upon it going forward. So first and foremost, I think an active prayer life makes a huge difference. I don't know how in the world you lead without having a relationship with the Lord. And I'm grateful for the prayers of so many that have sustained me, and also for the habits that I've been able to cultivate long before I was in leadership of the importance of staying connected to God through reading His Word, regular worship, and listening to God through prayer. So that makes a huge difference. Second is that I think we also have to keep perspective. Oftentimes what we assume is the really difficult spot ends up being not as difficult as we expected. I have this habit, I don't know about you, Chris, but I can catastrophize things at 3 o'clock in the morning like nobody else. And so things can be just terrible. And somehow by the time I get up at 7 a.m., they're just not as bad. And so somehow I think keeping some perspective in our life. And I think part of that is having some practices that help you stay grounded. A few years ago, I read a book called Finding Quiet, written by J.P. Moreland from Biola, talking about his own sort of journey with cancer and how contemplative prayer became a lifeline for him as he grappled with a real health concern. I think developing some of those kind of spiritual disciplines and cultivating the ones maybe that haven't always been part of our tradition, but that can help speak to the challenges, man, those serve leaders in dramatic ways, and I'm very grateful for them.
Yeah, I can think of a lot of leaders who are listening to you right now that maybe have lost their spiritual intimacy with the Lord along the way, maybe not denying the moral foundations of the faith, but when it comes to things like prayer, active worship life, spending time alone with the Lord, maybe that's been deficient for quite some time. And then you also mentioned having a great spouse along the journey. I think that, man, there's so many who would praise God for their spouse, but it does, to me, raise the question, man, what do you do if you're a leader and you and your spouse are not on the same page? And your spouse are disconnected, because that's such a vital ingredient for success in any leadership role, isn't it?
It is. In fact, I spent 10 years of my life interviewing senior leaders, people who lead very large businesses and nonprofit organizations, leaders in government. And I found that 96% of the people that I interviewed were married at the time of the interview. Now, not everybody was in their first marriage, but there's a recognition that it's very hard to lead if you don't have someone who is coming alongside you. And spouses are the very best at guiding us. They can keep us humble, but they can also pour courage into us, really encourage us in significant ways. So I'm grateful Rebecca has been that for me. And I pray, my best friend is a single guy, and I pray for him every week that the Lord might bring somebody into his life, because I know what a difference it can make.
Yeah, and certainly you can lead as a single Christian. That's, obviously Dr. Lindsay is not saying you can't. We have plenty of support for that. But I'm going to say this, that if you're married, I would prioritize my marriage and marital unity at the top of my list of places where I need to invest the best of my time, talent, and treasure. I think we all as leaders know what it's like to pursue education to strengthen our leadership. We talked earlier about the Next Conference. Those are our examples of great places to strengthen our leadership. Some of us through readings and whatever the case may be. But when it comes to our marriage, it's easy to deprioritize that. And I love that you give us a reminder that we do need to prioritize it. I want to talk about this thing called margin and We got a little break coming up in just a moment, so I know we won't get much into it right now. Maybe pick it up after the break more. But this whole conversation about margin, you talked about reading the book, Finding Quiet. That seems to be kind of new. Was this a big focus when you first started in leadership and you spent that decade talking to other leaders? What do you think has caused it to really emerge?
I think as I got to talk with so many different leaders, different walks of life, different generations, different institutional contexts, I just became more convinced that we do have to have space in our lives, space in our days, space in our leadership for us to be led by the Lord. And so you can't fill up every moment on your schedule with activities and meetings. You've got to build some additional margin in your life. And so part of that is dedicating time every day. Part of it is dedicating some time every week, and then being very intentional of dedicating it every year. So whether it's taking a little mini sabbatical or time for prayer or reading, all those can be helpful ways that you can sharpen the saw of your leadership and be prepared to lead over the long call for greater effectiveness.
Maybe you've been taught leadership as a high-speed locomotive instead of a well-watered garden, but we want you to be built to last. We don't want you to flame out like so many leaders before you, to become a casualty or a statistic. How do you avoid that? We'll talk to Dr. Lindsay about that on the other side of this break. Phone number to join the conversation, 877-LIVE-675. Don't go anywhere. Much more to come next up on Equip. Friends, there's a special event for our monthly partners happening soon. Our next Equipper webinar is this Thursday, April 18th, right after the program. Have you ever wondered how you can be sure that Christianity is true? Or do you wrestle with doubts about your salvation? Can you answer those who struggle with those same concerns? At this webinar, I'll address these topics and take up your questions as well. Equippers, look for an email from me with the registration details for this free interactive webinar. Not an Equipper and want to attend, but become a monthly partner by calling 888-644-4144 or online at equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Want to say thank you to all of our partners. Your generosity is an expression of God's grace that really does enable us to fulfill our mission of equipping Christians to more effectively live, share, and defend their faith. So thank you to Nathan from Indiana, to Selma from Tennessee, to Joan from Detroit, Michigan, Mary from Florida, and Michelle from Clinton Township, Michigan. You guys are awesome. Really appreciate your support for the program. Today is a very special opportunity for you to support the program. If it's been a blessing to you, if we've encouraged you along the way, if you've benefited from our guests, the wisdom and the resources shared on the program, I would ask that you would consider today partnering with us. Maybe a $25 investment or a $50 or $100 or more in order to help us to make sure that the gospel is being spread in your community and that the next generation has a place to turn to get relevant and biblical answers that will lead them to Christ. I want you to call this number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. And one of our ways of saying thank you is we'll send you over a copy of 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible by Jim Coakley. 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible. Feel free to go to our website as well, equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. Joining me today is Dr. Michael Lindsay. He is the president of Taylor University, one of the great Christian universities in our country. Such a rich history there. And Michael leads a pretty incredible team. And I'm looking forward to attending their next conference that will really help to equip leaders to be able to lead now and into the future. Dr. Lindsay, before we went to break, we were talking about margin. And I would love to just give you one closing word on that topic. What do you say to the leader who says life is just too busy for things like sabbaticals and quiet times and all of those wonderful things that I hear Dr. Lindsay referring to? What do you say to the person who feels like It's just too busy for those things.
Last week, I returned from a trip. I took my mom to go see the tulips in Holland in their peak season. And while there, we went to go visit an old Dutch town where they have designed through windmills the process that they can cut logs. And I'm in this space watching them cutting these logs by using the power of a windmill. And the guide was saying they replace the blades on those saws virtually every log to keep it sharp because the process is so involved. If we don't have regular seasons of rest and renewal, we will not be able to serve the Lord effectively in our given callings. And that's a message throughout Scripture. At least 1/7 of our time needs to be dedicated to rest, renewal, and worship. And so if that worked for the God of the universe, it certainly ought to apply for you and me.
Yeah, and I think that part of our responsibility as leaders is to make sure that we are educating and training key stakeholders in our lives, key stakeholders in our organizations towards that end. It should not be assumed that everyone knows that you need rest. Some will happily overload you thinking that, he can handle it. And we love when we're applauded for handling too much. No one wants to be viewed as weak, but yet it's important, as Dr. Lindsay just said, that we get a regular renewal, because if we don't, we will burn out. And one of the things that I've learned that happens in burnout, Dr. Lindsay, is that either there is a physical breakdown or a moral breakdown or both. And so often when we're in burnout, we think of it as just a practical thing, but it really can be a spiritual reality and a physical reality as well. When I think of Taylor University, one of the things that comes to mind is unity. You guys have been able to somehow buck the broader cultural trend of polarization and disunity, and you see it among your team members. You see it even in the ethos of your campus. What do you say to leaders about how to experience that type of unity, to get folks from different backgrounds to be able to rally around a common mission? How do you do that?
Well, it's only by the grace of God. We certainly do pray regularly for unity, because I think that it's one of the most important forms of compelling Christian witness for the wider world. We take seriously the admonition in the Psalms, how blessed it is when we dwell together in unity. So we want that to be true to who we are. But also, we've really worked hard over the last year or two to equip our managers. We probably have about 70 managers for a workforce, about 600 employees. We've really tried to equip our academic department chairs and our staff managers to be able to help identify problems before they come to the surface. So we're constantly looking ahead to say, hey, what could be potential issues and how can we help draw people into the right posture so that we problem solve? And then in the process of that, we also work really hard to be able to talk through differences, disagreements, or challenges. Most of what you have to do in leadership is just try to keep bad things from becoming worse and to look for good opportunities that could emerge. And so being proactive, being prayerful, I think those make huge differences of helping to maintain the unity. And you're right, we have been blessed. Compared to most other colleges or universities, Taylor's a remarkably united community. And it's not because we don't have strong convictions and not because we don't have disagreements, but because I think we've made the right investments in our people and built the right kind of culture where we can find ways to work together even across those differences.
You know, I was talking to someone about the evolution of things like diversity and equity and inclusion and all of those things, and everyone has an opinion about those things. What I do know is that if you look over the history of movements like that, which I think are well-intended, so often the wrong methodology is being used. Quotas dehumanize, and they really don't actually bring about true unity in a community. Neither does, in my opinion, forced corporate training. You can call it whatever you want, sensitivity training, forced corporate training. But I think it's when you have leaders like yourself, Dr. Dyson, who have shared ownership, shared voice. I think it's when you have that and true, genuine friendship. I mean, you can tell even in a phone interview like what we're having right now that there's camaraderie between you and Dr. Dyson. I think that when you have that, then you have the type of unity that the Bible hopes for us to have, Dr. Lindsay.
I think that's right. Yeah. Relationships are the key. And so having a deep degree of relationships, we care a lot about Taylor looking like the kingdom of God, but we don't do it for the sake of diversity, equity, inclusion. We do it because it helps us to be a more Christ-centered institution. And so part of the encouragement we want to give to churches and to church leaders is, let's not try to follow the secular muses and look like every other organization. Let's just try to look like the kingdom of God. And in the process of doing that, we're going to have all the diversity the Lord wants, and we'll also be able to do it a biblical unity in the midst of that diversity.
Yeah, and I think we need to be honest where there's barriers, and if there's barriers to that type of unity, we need to remove those barriers. But trying to go about it in artificial ways that really aren't driven from a Christ-centered love and a conviction to be able to reach all people with the good news of God's grace ultimately will fall short of the biblical vision. Let's go to the phone lines. Chet is listening in Lake Wales, Florida. Hey, Chet, thank you so much for listening. What's your comment?
Thank you for taking my call. The comment has to do with levels of expectations. If the staff of a church or Christian organization needs and wishes to schedule margin into their agendas and into their lives, the people that they are responsible to, their leadership group, elders, deacons, and the congregation at large must understand this, or they'll say, well, you know, the church staff is supposed to work 8 days a week and 29 hours a day. What's wrong with them? So you got to set that expectation frequently through from the front and through small groups. Thank you.
Yeah, well said, Chet. If you want to join the conversation, share your thoughts, or even have us pray for you as a leader, or for a leader that you love, dial the number, just like Chet did, 877-548-3675. That's 877-LIVE-675. I think Chet brings up a great point, Dr. Lindsay, which leads to my next question, and that is part of retaining great leaders really rests in the lapse, in particular for churches, in the lapse of the congregation. So what would you say to a congregation or a church that really wants to retain or even attract great leaders and the type of people they have to be in the way that leaders are treated at their church?
Well, I think that the key thing is you keep Jesus at the center and you care deeply about people, and that will help you recruit truly extraordinary leaders. And so building the right kind of culture really starts with the right expectations. And it's true, the church can sometimes be really hard on people, really demanding. And at the same time, there's so many examples of great churches that are making a real key difference, and being mindful of those kinds of guardrails that can exist. You made the point that if you don't have the guardrails, not only do you begin to have sort of physical challenges, but also moral challenges as well. And the real issue for us today is that Christians are not known for being distinctively different from the wider world. The intellectual and moral rot we see all around us is also true in lots of places of the church. And so we've got to do a better job in the days ahead. But I'm encouraged. Getting a chance to work with these amazing students at Taylor day in and day out. I was lifting weights last night with a young man named Hojun, and he's got such a love for the Lord and a real commitment to honoring the Lord. I'm encouraged by the possibilities, but we've got to build the right kind of culture where students can flourish.
Yeah, it's so great to hear someone like yourself who works with young leaders, works with the next generation, young adults, say that you're encouraged. Because let's be honest, much of the press that is out there on this generation. A lot of the sentiment surrounding this generation, Gen Z, is negative. But yet, I've been trying to on this program, and hopefully Dr. Lindsay's voice can reinforce it, I've been trying to encourage you, to let you know that while there are certainly challenges and differences oftentimes, there's a lot to be encouraged about. God is on the move in the midst of Gen Z and transforming hearts. And so praise God for that testimony. We're going to take our final break of the day. I want to highlight just one of Dr. Lindsay's books. It's called Hinge Moments, Making the Most of Life's Transitions. Maybe you're a leader right now listening to me and you're in a pivot. You are in a hinge moment. You're in a season of transition that can either make you or break you. How do you have the right perspective? How do you come through it, not only surviving, but thriving? Dr. Lindsay has put together a phenomenal book. I want to encourage you to go to our website, equipradio.org. If you want to read the Bible for all it's worth, it's helpful to have an experienced guide with you. Bible teacher Dr. Jim Coakley has written a book that will bring your scripture study to life. It's called 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible, and I highly recommend it for you if you want to understand and apply the Bible for yourself. Get your copy with a gift of any amount to Equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Time flies when you're talking about leadership, and that's certainly the case with Dr. Michael Lindsay. I'm so grateful for his leadership and how he's taken what he's learned, put it in the books and conferences and sermons, and applied it and shared it so that others can benefit from it as well. Dr. Lindsay, I really do want to talk to you about this. Just one question about hinge moments. I can't have you on without asking you. It feels like through COVID, every leader went through a hinge moment. It felt like a societal-wide hinge moment, if you will. How do you survive those moments of pivot? Somebody's listening to us right now, and man, they're maybe landing in a fresh new role, or maybe the door that they have been in, the door to that is closed, and they're finding themselves trying to discern what's next. What advice do you give, and what's worked in your life for surviving those hinge moments?
Well, I certainly have had a number of doors close on me, and moments when I thought the doors were completely closed and the Lord opened them up. So the great thing about a hinge is that it can keep a closed door closed and open door open, but it can also close an open door and open a closed one. So it's an engineering marvel that I think the Lord has used in my own life to help me understand how change and transition can be moments of obedience, and how the Lord can use it to take us to new places. And so to the listener who's out there and the door's been closed on you recently, let me just testify to the goodness of the Lord. He wants you to thrive and flourish. That is absolutely the will of God. And so he wants to help you to grow, to redeem whatever challenge or difficulty you're going through, and to be able to create a new opportunity. Ours is a God who makes all things new. And so whether that's a new professional opportunity, a change in your family life, or a move to a new town, I just really believe that the Lord comes alongside us and orchestrates moments of opportunity for us. And I'm thinking a lot about hinge moments individually and collectively. And you're right, Chris. The global pandemic was certainly a societal-wide hinge moment. But we also have these things come along every week, moments that could be life-altering changes that we don't even anticipate. So pray that the Lord would give you eyes to see where is he opening up doors and how can you join him in that. And I think in the process of that, you'll find great cause for hope and optimism. And for those who are actively seeking jobs or looking for a new opportunity, I just encourage you that the Lord wants to use you in a significant way. And I have to believe he's going to open up the right doors of possibility for you as you remain faithful. Part of that means every day we say, Lord, this day is yours. My life is yours. I'm here to do your work. As we step into the offering plate as our whole selves, the Lord uses that and he multiplies it to feed lots more than just with the 2 loaves and 5 fish. But he can do even more things in our lives.
Well, and I would also say, saying amen to all that you just said, I would just add one thing, and that is, you know, prepare for it, because it comes to all of our lives. And when we don't prepare for it, it can catch us off guard, unprepared, maybe even overwhelmed. But by reading books like Hinge Moments, there's others on this topic, it really does help us to be anchored so that when the hinge moment comes, we're not overwhelmed by it. I want to give you a final word as we conclude our time together today on building trust. You know, we live in an age of suspicion. When people ask me, Dr. Lindsay, what's been the biggest change in leadership over the last 30 years? I say that it used to be that leaders were presumed trustworthy. Now everyone is guilty until proven innocent. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give on building trust?
Well, let me just say on the last item, as an institutional leader, we are always looking for good people. And I know lots of institutions that are out there seeking folks. I think we have 50 different jobs that we're currently searching. So if anybody's looking for a job, consider applying at Taylor University. We're looking for good people. I do believe that trust is one of those things that our society has really eroded. Social media has been hard on building that ecosystem of trust. And yet, I'm hopeful, because I see in the next generation a desire for young people who really want to make a very positive difference. And in the process of that, I'm seeing a hunger and thirst for righteousness unlike anything I've seen in my career. That I go to chapel worship. We have chapel every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Students are leading us in worship in profound ways. And I believe that the Lord is on the move. So in the process of that, I'm hoping that I can be proven to be worthy of the trust and confidence my community has, and that we can help develop a whole generation of trustworthy young people who go out and minister to a world in need.
Character matters, and part of the way we build trust is by thinking about the world beyond just ourselves, the narrowness of our own self-interest, and being used by God to be a blessing to others. Such is the case with Taylor University. So grateful for what you're doing for Upland and in Grant County, and just broader Indiana community. Thanks for your leadership, Dr. Lindsay. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. Hey there, friends. Chris Brooks here. I've discovered that shame is to the soul what cancer is to the body. It can lead to emotional, spiritual, relational, and even physical problems. That's why I'm happy to have Dr. Gregory Jantz on with me to talk about how we can experience wellness and peace. Don't miss this important edition of Equip. Listen live weekdays at 1 Eastern, noon Central, on the Moody Radio app or equipradio.org.